This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Alabama is the only state left allowing judicial override. That's where elected judges can overrule a jury decision of life in prison and instead impose a death sentence. But that might come to an end. This week, the Alabama Senate passed a bill that would prohibit the practice. WBHM's Gigi Duban talked with Don Daly of Alabama Public Television about this and other happenings in the legislature this week.
There have been statistics that have shown that in recent years, Alabama judges have dozens of times overridden jury recommendations of life without parole in death penalty cases and imposed the death sentence instead. The bill by Senator Dick Brubaker of Pike Road passed the Senate 30-1 on Thursday after just narrowly passing a Senate committee earlier.
That level of support was a little surprising to some, was it not?
It was surprising given that it made it out of the Senate committee fairly recently by a much more narrow vote. But Senator Dick Brubaker said on Thursday that there had been a lot of consensus on the bill since then, that a lot of state judges had gotten on board with this and supported the legislation and made lawmakers more comfortable with it.
Yeah, why do you think it got so much support from judges?
Well, I think that they've heard from a lot of corners in recent months and in recent years about the high number of judicial overrides in the cases that have been before them. And there's been enough of an outcry, I think, that this has become an issue, and it's sort of come to a boiling point where this is concerned. And there have been a number of high-profile individual cases over the last several years where this issue has been raised. And again, I think that all lent to the consensus being reached on this bill. Now, there is a similar bill in the House, and it is a little different from Brubaker's. It's a little broader, as a matter of fact. It calls for unanimous jury decisions to impose the death penalty. That was not a caveat in the bill that passed the Senate on Thursday.
Republican House Majority Leader Mickey Hammond resigned this week. Was it a surprising departure?
I don't think it was as surprising as it might seem on the surface, or as surprising as it might be to the general observer. There have been some rumblings in the House Republican caucus for a while about dissension and some dissatisfaction on the part of some members over Representative Hammond's leadership as House Majority Leader. Last week, the House Republican caucus took a no-confidence vote against Mickey Hammonds. He did survive that no-confidence vote, but it was so disturbing to his critics, especially people like Representative Ed Henry of Hartzell, that Representative Henry resigned his post as vice chair of the caucus in protest. He remains a member of the caucus. Henry and others have contended that Representative Hammond has been an ineffective majority leader in recent years, and they were just mounting calls for new leadership. In a statement this week, Representative Hammond said that after 6 years as majority leader, he felt that there was also a need for new leadership, especially in light of the fact that there's a new House minority leader. He felt it was also time for new leadership for the House majority as well.
And Representative Henry not long ago mentioned a chasm in the Republican Party here. How much of that do you think played into Hammond's decision to resign?
Well, we don't know because, caucus business is conducted in private, and it was actually rare for Representative Henry to publicly discuss caucus business. That's usually something that's not done. But there are indications, at least according to Representative Henry, that the chasm was so deep that it might affect progress in the House moving forward in this legislative session.
That's Don Daly, host of Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal, speaking with WBHM's Gigi Duban. You can hear from Don each Friday during the legislative session.